Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Berger, speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to begin a new series of studies, which we are going to entitle Four Attributes of God. Now, you'll notice, please, I'm not using the definite article the four attributes of God, because God has many, many attributes beyond four. But we're going to consider during this study, particularly, the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. What is an attribute? These are all the attributes of God. Well, it is that within us which underlies all outward manifestation. It's the intrinsic part of us. It's what we are by character. The character comes out. And this is true of God. God is the God of love. As a matter of fact, we read in 1 John 4, 7 and 8 these words, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." He's the very essence of it. He is light, we read in John's epistle, and he is love. We see the light first, and we need the light to realize what God is really like. And the scriptures tell us very, very plainly, we'll be reading many scriptures today, that God is indeed the God of love. And he created it. It's a part of him. And he passed it on to us, rather. We were created in the image and the likeness of God, Genesis 1:26. And so we know something about love too, but it originates with God, and he is the author of it, and he certainly is the very essence of love itself. Now, God has love. Let's look first at the love of God. And then we'll look at the love of God reflected in us who know the Lord, and then the love of God reflected in the lives of the unredeemed who don't know the Lord. They love too, and we'll be considering it. Now let's think first of all of the love of God and dwell upon it. Now, love must have an object. You don't love and it must be an animate object. Oh, I suppose it could be inanimate if we love our automobile or something of that kind. I suppose it could be true. But it generally speaking, love is poured out upon an inanimate subject, or animate subject, rather. And we want to see how the love of God manifests itself. Love always gives. Love always gives, and it always must have an object. All right, let's go to the love of God. We're talking about the love of God. Let's go there and see something about the love of God. Here it is. In John 3:16 we read, "For God so loved the world." That's the object of his love, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I think that's probably the love verse of all the Bible. God so loved the world. Now, does the world love him? No. But I'll tell you what. If we indeed dwell on the love of God, we will be that part of the world that will love him in return. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we believe that Jesus Christ was on the cross for us, dying for our sins, out of love for you and for me, manifesting his love in that way, and the Father manifesting his love in giving us his Son, as we said a moment ago, love always gives. Love doesn't wait to receive. Love gives. It's intrinsic. It's a characteristic. We love because God has implanted that within our hearts. We were created that way. And in the fall of mankind, in the Garden of Eden, somehow the love remained. And I'm glad it did, because it's a lovely thing to love and to be loved. But here we have God expressing his love in this wonderful verse. And if we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, if we love him for it, if we thank him for it, the gift of God is eternal life, and this life is in his Son. It's a gift. You can't buy it. It's a gift. And it's an insult to offer to God our works, our money, and expect to receive something because we are offering those things. He wants our love. And he wants it so desperately that he gave his Son to die on the cross for Calvary for you and me. Now, who does this apply to? It's whosoever believeth in him. I'm glad that my name is not in the Bible. I've heard this application made in dealing with people about their relationship to the Lord Jesus, reading their name into John 3:16. I can do it. For God so loved Ken Baird that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Ken Baird believes in him, he should not perish but have everlasting life. But do you know I don't want to do that? And I'll tell you why. I have known six Ken Bairds, and one of them is a preacher beside myself. How can I be sure that it applied to me? But when I read this the way God has written it in his word, I can be sure that it applies to me. For God so loved the world, am I a part of it? You better believe it, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, now that's better than my name, because my name might not apply to me, but here it is, it's for you and it's for me, and this is our portion when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now love gives, and God gave the supreme gift. Thanks be unto God for his inexpressible gift, we read in 2 Corinthians 9:15. All right, let's go on farther. Love sacrifices, we read in Galatians 2:20, where Paul says there, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the sacrifice of love. Sometimes we hear of parents going into a burning building to rescue one of their children. And sometimes they don't succeed. They die with a child. Love sacrifices. What is the duration of love? Well, I'm going to read two verses. One from the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Jeremiah is quoting, this is Jeremiah's quote, the Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Some of the love of earth runs out. The love wanes, but not the love of God. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And every soul that rejects Christ and goes into a lost eternity, hell if you please, goes with the love of God following him right to the brink of the pit. He wants us. He bought us with the precious blood of his own dear Son. Now let's talk about the love of God reflected in us who know the Lord. Now there are natural ties, the loves of husbands and wives for each other. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Paul wrote to Titus, it was a word of instruction, teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, you wouldn't think that we would need to be told to do that. But we do. We're told to do it. Now, parents love their children, And sometimes that love takes a strange manifestation. We read in Hebrews 12:6, for instance, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Even the Lord loves us so much that he punishes us when we do evil. You know, it's very, very hard to convince a child that you love him and that you're punishing him because you love him. He just can't see it that way. But when he gets older, more mature, he realizes it's true. And God scourges every son whom he receives, and it's a manifestation of his love that he takes him to task when he does evil. Now, there are spiritual ties. There is the love for our brothers and sisters in Christ mentioned in 1 John 3, verse 14. "We know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." Now, it doesn't say here, "We know we've passed from death unto life because we tolerate the brethren." It says because we love the brethren. Certainly that is true. And then we read also in verse 16, that third chapter of 1 John, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." How wonderful! He laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And some would read this, "We ought to lay out the brethren." It's not a matter of being hard on our brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a matter of loving them. And now we have to go to the love of God reflected in the lives of the unredeemed. We read in Luke 6:32, "For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them." Now, love is to originate with the Christian. Now, if the Christian loves somebody just simply because somebody loves them and manifests that love, that's not the way that it works. Lots of people expect that. Lots of people expect to love them and then they'll love them in return. That's not the way to put it. We love others. It's our manifestation of that love to be kind to them, to win them, and then they will love us. It works. Love begets work. Love begets love. It's a part of it. And certainly, as far as you and I are concerned, we are to originate the love. There are lots of people in this world that wonder why people don't love them. I'll tell you why. It's because they don't manifest it first. Win the love of other people. The scripture says, "He that hath friends must show himself friendly." It originates with us. And let's remember that in our thinking, that indeed we might reflect the love of God in our lives, that we might retain that much of his image to love other people. He loved us. He loved a guilty world. May God help us to remember the fact that God is love. Our Father, today, we thank you that we can look up to you and thank you that you loved us and gave your Son for us. And we thank you for him, that an inexpressible gift, in his own peerless name. Amen.